Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy. The great Will T is out. We are part of Sports Journey. So check us out at sportsjourney.com. You'll find all kinds of sports content, especially for your DMV sports team. What's going on, Ray Jeezy?
What's going on? We may have to put out a Gary Russell Jr. type video for my man T Living.
Oh, bro.
Come at him a little bit.
We're about to go in.
He's on the warpath lately.
I know, bro. We're going to have to go in. Like on that, like seriously, I got that saved up and queued up for our first segment, bro. Real talk.
shout out to the brother though. We appreciate.
No, I do. I appreciate him.
Followed, appreciate the support. Mm-hmm. But in my great Russell voice, stop that shit, Shawty.
Oh, snap. Oh, you ain't lying, man. It's like, come on, bro. Stop it. Come on, dude. Like. I get, I'm all about, you know me, I'm going to talk about it later, but I'm all about consistency, and I'm not going to knock you if you dislike somebody and you're consistent in terms of any player or anybody, period. But you can't have two set of rules though. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do that. Like, just because you like somebody, you refuse to say something negative about them. But it is what it is, man. Like, we're going to talk about, because I got a lot of people queued up for that one. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. You can also join our... also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T would normally say this, let's get into our tradition, the pregame, but homie ain't here. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington football team falling to the Baltimore Ravens 31-17. We'll preview their next game against the LA Rams at 8:20. We'll talk about the NBA finals between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Miami Heat, and Doc Rivers joining the Philadelphia 76ers at 8:40. We'll interview Quinn's Orchard High School cornerback William Simpkins III. Quinn's Orchard is located in Germantown, Maryland. Also, William has committed to the University of Virginia. He'll be part of the 2020 class. And then finally, we'll make our NFL Week 5 picks and survivor picks. But first, Sunday, the Washington football team fell to the Baltimore Ravens 31-17. Dwayne Haskins went 32 for 45 for 314 yards and a rushing touchdown. Did you see progress from Dwayne Haskins, Ray?
It's amazing that you have this battle of the beltway. Two teams, one was expected to blow the other out.
Mm-hmm.
A two touchdown victory is not necessarily what we expected. It wasn't a massacre, but we're focused on Dwayne Haskins after the game. It's unfortunate that we're talking about him every week, but he's playing the most important position in football and he's under a microscope. So with that being said, I did not see any progression from him, honestly, but I didn't see any regression either. The most important thing, and everybody has pointed this out already, is he didn't turn the football over. So that was dope. However, I could either annoy you here, and I'm not trying to, I promise you, you should know me by now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Or you could agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
This quarterback offensive coordinator relationship rings Jason Campbell gems on to me.
Mm.
It really does, because Dwayne shows some ability to throw the football downfield. I just don't know if this offense is designed to get the ball downfield.
Mm-hmm.
And we're questioning whether this team has the personnel to stretch the field. Back when Jim Zorn was the head coach, actually, although he was basically the quarterback coach and offensive coordinator at the time, Jason Campbell had Santana Moss as his primary weapon. And Washington struggled to get the ball downfield. Now we're watching Terry McLaurin being the primary offensive weapon, and same results right now. Also, again, you may not like this, Dwayne's throwing motion, it reminds me a lot of Vince Young. And I don't know if that can be fixed. I don't know if that will change. I don't know if you can fix his mechanics. But I just don't like the way the ball comes out. It does. He does have a zip on his ball. Don't get it twisted. That pass, I believe it was in the fourth quarter. It was almost a 40-yard pass to Terry McLaurin. I mean, that arm, it showed why Dwayne Haskins was highly touted at Ohio State. However, we're not seeing enough of it. And I feel as though if he's being pressured, the way he gets rid of the ball is not effective, because he lets it go too quickly. And he doesn't put enough zip on the ball to where it's accurate. It's like if you watch certain receivers, I want to say during the broadcast, there was a comparison to how when Pat Mahomes was getting rushed, Pat Mahomes would
backpedal,
move back.
He backpedaled.
Right, and get the ball. You saw that, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I was like, dang, that makes a whole lot of sense. Now, it's hard to compare, of course, Dwayne Haskins to Pat Mahomes. Mm-hmm. It just makes sense to me that Pat Mahomes, who is still relatively young in his career, and I know he has a lot more experience, different coaches, which is, to me, the biggest difference, how he seems to get the ball out the right way, even though, of course, the Patriots showed how to make him uncomfortable last night, right? And, and the week before that, the Chargers showed the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it coaching that is limiting Dwayne Haskins? At this point, I'm going to say, while his talent may not be elite, we've had discussions about this already.
Yeah.
I think that it's equally on the coaching staff to put him in a position to succeed. He didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
He's playing against an excellent, disciplined Baltimore Ravens defense. So Scott Turner should be just as much on the hot seat as Dwayne Haskins, even though, again, I've given it time. I told you week 7 on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. No, you did. You said the week 7. For me, I saw progression. You look in the last 2 weeks, you know, it was a guy that everything was high. Everything wasn't. And I think it was a progression even in play calling too, because I just felt like they try to simplify things, and I think that's what you need to do. And we talked about this off air, is that, you know, if you don't have the weapons and you don't have, you know what I mean, and he's not there yet, right, then make things easy for him so he can get confidence going to the next game. You saw them trying to give Antonio Gibson more touches in terms of, you know, catching the football, right? And, you know, in the slot, in wide receiver situations, screen passes, and they got hit. That got him going. You saw, Scary Terry, you know, Dwayne hitting him with slants. So you just got to build confidence and build accuracy in certain things that he's comfortable doing. And I think they utilize that even more. I didn't like how he was utilizing against the Browns. I thought they were trying to make him, and we talked about this, they were trying to make him into Dan Marino. He's just not there. He's not that type of quarterback. He's not elite, like you said. But there are things that I liked what they did to kind of make it, you know, that had him make throws that he's comfortable in making. You know, for him to go 32 for 45 over the last couple weeks, but prior to this game that he went 32 for 45, you would think that couldn't happen. But at least now they gave him something to work off of, something confident to work off of. So I will give Scott Turner props on that, like getting him comfortable putting in things that Dwayne Haskins is comfortable in doing. Now, saying that, it's now you got to give him little by little, because little by little, baby steps to get him to improve in terms of, you know, all the passes, to make all the passes, make the deep throws, the accurate deep throws, the accurate bombs. You got to get him comfortable in doing that. But it's still predicated on, you cannot put all of it on his shoulders. He's not that guy right now. Like, he's not that guy. And we can also, we know that he's just not that individual where you can put all the pressure on Dwayne Haskins and say, hey, get us this W. You didn't do this with Big Ben, and he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback and one of the all-time great quarterbacks in the NFL. You didn't do this with Russell Wilson. Now he's an MVP caliber quarterback. You didn't ask him to do that in Seattle when he was younger. You didn't ask this from I'm trying to think of even Tom Brady, New England, his first year in New England when he won the Super Bowl, like as a starter, that you didn't ask him to win games. You asked the defense to ball out, and you pretty much had him manage the football game. That's what you need Dwayne to do. If you're trying to say, Dwayne, be the star of this offense, you're messing up, man. Like, he's not that dude. He's not Andrew Luck, who came into the league already an A-plus player. He's not that guy. You know what I'm saying? He's not Cam Newton. You know what I'm saying? Really, he's not Cam. He's not Deshaun Watson. Like, he's not that guy, but he has the ability to be a good quarterback at this particular, he has the ability to be a good quarterback. So don't put too much on him.
I would agree. We had this discussion. We were texting back and forth. Now, you mentioned Dan Marino. I know I just compared his throwing motion to Vince Young. However, Dan Marino was a gunslinger. Dan Marino had that nice sidearm pass too that I like. And at times during the Brown game, didn't Dwayne look like a gunslinger?
Yeah, I mean,
as a matter of fact, he overcame a deficit and he looked good on two of those drives when Washington came back in that game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you said, too much. And I like the play call in that game. I felt as though
it was good.
Began to evolve. I text you right away. Yeah. Like, wow, it's starting to look better. You even put that on Twitter in response.
I thought the same thing.
And
I thought it was better this week.
Same thing.
Yeah.
When you saw Antonio Gibson catching out the backfield. Mm-hmm. By the way, is Antonio Gibson an every down back? Because right now this running back carousel is not going to help Dwayne either.
Yeah.
He needs to have a stable running game. Which most fans and analysts would agree right now Washington doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
It leaves you scratching your head because Adrian Peterson is in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the situation you're in. You have to build upon what you have. And seeing progression from Antonio Gibson, seeing the confidence the coaching staff is showing in him is helping. However, there's a different vibe for Ron Rivera when he's talking about Antonio Gibson as opposed to Dwayne Haskins. And the dude Cooley pointed that thing out, and people didn't like it because it's Cooley, but he was telling the truth.
Cooley has his own motives too, though. But yeah, facts though about Ron Rivera. You're right, though. There's a disconnect. I agree. I don't know. See, this is the thing. I don't know if there's a disconnect or is it, you know, he's trying to find a way to this is his tool to motivate him. But I'm on the side of saying it's a disconnect because we can talk about it now with the tweet that his agent put out there about. You know, Dwayne, you know, basically having the cards that are dealt to him, stating that, you know, Dwayne doesn't have, you know, the offensive line, you know, the playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, and everybody just expects him to, you know, to ball out. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's putting that on Dwayne. And I'm like, I get his point, and we talked about this. Like, he has a valid point. But again, this is just bad. It's just negativity. You're bringing in more negativity in a negative situation for Dwayne, right? Because you got the fan base split. I want to say split. You got the fan base split about, all right, this dude is, some folks that think this dude is trash. You got some folks saying it's too early to comment on where this dude is going to be at. And then you got the coaching staff that's like, hey, you know, dude, you got to improve. You know what I'm saying? Putting this pressure on him. So it's like, you know, you're bringing that negativity into play, and it's like, and even to the locker room, like when your agent states something like that to say, all right, you know, you'll have players be like, hey, Dwayne, bruh, yo, is he speaking for you? Are you trying to say I'm not good enough to help you out? You know what I mean? Because they can come back and say, on the flip side, they can say, hey, bruh, I was wide open, but you overthrew me. Like, how many times you gonna overthrow me? Or underthrow me. You know what I'm saying? So it's real like his agent coming out and saying that, you know what I'm saying? Like I know where he's coming from, because we've said this before, Ray, I feel like we're redundant that we believe that this, you know, they don't have the weapons for this dude to like say, hey, let me put up 400 yards passing. It's not like the Dallas Cowboys situation where they have three top wide receivers. I'm going to say top wide receivers, but 3,000 yard capable wide receivers. This team doesn't have that. They got Scary Terry, who looks like a number one, plays like a number one, but you just putting too much on one dude to continue to put up numbers like that when you can just, you need to spread the ball over. You don't got a tight end. So there's like, you're asking for Dwayne to do so much. I personally think it's unfair for folks to like get on him, like to say that, all right, you know what I mean? He's not showing progress. He's just trash. Like for me, I said this before, like last week, I said, dude, play like a trash. He got to step up. Well, I'm fair. Like, I've been a Dwayne supporter. When he played like garbage against the Browns, I was on him. I wasn't like, man, you know what? It's the Browns. He can slip up. I was like, dude was trash. Like, I was honest. Dude was trash. But you know what I'm saying? I like to say, like, against the Ravens, we're talking about the Baltimore Ravens too. Like, I want folks to understand this. We're talking about the Ravens. Against the Ravens, he showed improvement. You know what I mean? Like, against the Ravens. If we were talking about the Giants and he played like that, I would be with you all. Believe me, I'd be like, dude, it sucks. Like, this is he's the worst. But he's playing against the Ravens. So for that, I'm not going to knock him because we all thought it would be worse than that.
He's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Just because of what you mentioned, the division. And we're not going to go into how bad the division is.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But of course, he has played. He's now, you're 1-0 in the division, which is dope.
Mm-hmm.
But the last 2 weeks, he's played against two pretty good defense. Of course, the Baltimore Ravens are excellent. And
yeah.
I told I told you on our other show, Myles Garrett was going to be the best defensive player you've seen all season.
Mm-hmm.
So to get that experience early,
I think I agree with you.
For Dwayne, and honestly, Antonio Gandy-Golden, right?
Yeah.
He had some concussion issues during training camp.
Mm-hmm.
But many of us believe that either him or Sims, outside of McLaurin, can be your next best option.
Yeah.
Now, we saw some videos of Dwayne and AGG, as they call him, having some practice time in the summer, and they look dope. And I'm telling you, Gandy-Golden has the ability to be a very good number two or maybe even a number one receiver on this team. If he emerges over the next several weeks, especially going into division play, dude, Washington is looking at a home playoff game, and I don't care what these analysts are saying. All you got to do is get in the dance.
All you got to do.
We saw when Seattle got in the dance, and they beat New Orleans 7-9.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what.
You talking Marshawn Lynch. You talking about the Marshawn Lynch here.
You know.
Yeah. Beast mode. The beast mode.
If this team can gain chemistry on offense, I like what the agent did on Dwayne's behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. A, he's telling the daggone truth. I told you that.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, he told the truth. And it's coming from the agent. He's not saying Dwayne said this. He's speaking for himself. And also, it was the direct result of Washington leaking the information that Haskins is basically on a week-to-week. You messed up his organization by doing that. If we're going to have a culture change, that should not happen.
Mm.
So this is a front office issue. And whoever leaked it, you caused the agent to then lash back out at you. And I feel as though an agent representing his player did absolutely the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he was telling the truth. Although, again, we're talking about Steven Sims, Antonio Gandy-Golden, Terry McLaurin. These young guys actually have potential. When I told you last year I didn't like the weapons, it was only because I said they were inexperienced.
Yeah,
they were inexperienced.
Same thing.
You can't have an inexperienced quarterback with inexperienced receivers. It's just going to be a recipe for disaster if you want to win right away.
Yeah, I agree.
With the weapons moving forward if these guys can develop chemistry. And Dwayne is going to still have a lot of pressure because what you're doing in practice has to translate to the field. And right now, he still appears nervous at times. It takes some time to get going. But going into division play in a winnable division against defenses that aren't good, talking about the Giants, Cowboys, the Eagles may get healthier, though. They scare me going down the stretch.
I think Dwayne is – he's going to play easier competition defensively. So I think that should be promising for him. Again, because to me, what I saw against the Ravens – you know what I mean? And some of the things they were doing offensively, I think Dwayne can have good numbers going in, you know, going down in the future. He can have really good games. The Washington football team has the LA Rams next. Is this a highly winnable game? And if so, what are the keys to a victory?
Well, we saw LA have its challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Against the New York Giants, the New York football
Giants.
Whereas, we all, especially if you know, you're in a pick'em league or, you know, you have money on the line.
Yeah.
Everybody was sweating because it looked like the Giants were going to be an upset.
I know. I was about to say.
But in my opinion, that's not the best measure. Because the week before that, we saw the Rams go up and down the field against the Buffalo Bills. Now, I don't feel bad for them that they lost on a controversial call because they got to the Super Bowl on a controversial call.
Whatever, man.
The way this team moves the football, the Rams are speaking of, the head coach they have, who I don't care what he says to the media, he is looking to remind Washington that they did not hire him as a head coach.
Yeah.
Brother, I'm telling you, you cannot turn the football over.
Definitely
can. Baltimore did not turn the football. Well, you did have the one turn, but that was a good hit by Marlon Humphrey. Excellent hit.
That was on
anybody.
Yeah.
That could have anybody.
Yeah.
Of course, you have to control the ball, control the clock. And that comes with what? Running the football.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I'm not sure if Washington is able to manage the clock any better than what they have been because the running game is not consistent yet. However, this is week five. Week five,
yeah.
I think we should all be expecting. We're moving into what? The second quarter of the season.
Yeah.
We should be expecting to see progress running the football. We didn't see a whole lot of Peyton Barber. Maybe you just got to switch it up a bit.
Maybe.
I'm thinking that if you don't turn the ball over, you run the ball effectively, you put Dwayne in positions where he can not only dump it off to the running back, but he can run some play action passes. Then you can open up down the field for Terry McLaurin, which, again, you know what he brings to the table. He's so tough. I love the fact that he played this past week. And defensively, I'm a little bit concerned about the defensive back.
Yeah.
Coming into the season, I told you the defense was going to be the strength. And I saw DBs, Landon Collins, oh, man, I don't know what's going on with him, but I expected more from him.
Fuller's been good.
Monte Nichols.
Monte Nichols. You talking about?
Help me with my name, bro.
Which player? Fabian's not even playing.
He's not playing.
Nah, okay. You're talking about Darby. So basically, you're referring to Darby. Fuller balled last week. So Fuller had two picks.
Fuller did have a good game.
Darby and Jimmy Moreland. Apke's the safety. Apke's the issue though. It's a weakness.
Right. Safety's been a concern. Okay, there we go. Apke. I'm getting my name confused because right after that game, I saw at least five tweets that said Earl Thomas is sitting there. We may have to look at because I'm concerned about. And one of our good friends, he's been killing Landon Collins the past two.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, I know. That folks been killing Landon. I mean, I'm not into killing Landon Collins because I guess especially against the Ravens, Lamar Jackson makes a lot of people look bad. So I feel like that's like unfair. Like Lamar Jackson has made the best safeties look bad in the open field. Like a lot of people are like a little annoyed at Landon not making tackles. I mean, I get prior weeks, but against Lamar, that's a whole different animal. Lamar has made a lot of defensive players look bad. He's made a lot of I know Kyler Murray, he made Landon look bad too. But again, Kyler Murray's in that to a number of individuals. But you know, the Rams, they bring Aaron Donald. You talked about Myles Garrett Aaron Donald's the best player they're probably going to see the whole year. The best defensive player they're going to see the whole year. They're not going to see Khalil Mack. They're going to see Aaron Donald, and they're going to see Jalen Ramsey. Maybe because Jalen Ramsey got into a fight, so I don't know if he's going to get suspended, but. But they're definitely going to see Aaron. He's not. All right. So they're going to see those two. All right. And Aaron Donald is a man child. What they're going to do, how they're going to block him inside is going to be a whole different beast. But in terms of, is it a winnable game? I think it's winnable because you look at the Giants, you know, being involved in the game. The Eagles were in a close game with this team too. When the Eagles were in a situation where they were missing bodies. They were able to compete with the Rams. If they get Chase Young back for this game, I think they definitely have an opportunity to create havoc. And the thing for the Washington football team that's going to probably, you know, help them out is that Jared Goff isn't a mobile quarterback, right? And the last couple of games, they've had to go against extremely mobile quarterbacks. Other than Baker, you know what I mean? But other than Baker, they went against extremely mobile quarterbacks in Lamar and Kyler Murray. So this is Kyler. So this will give them an opportunity to pin their ears back and be able to rush the quarterback. And you know what I mean? So this will be a different situation, a different matchup against their defense.
I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying?
So make it easier.
You know what I mean? Because go ahead.
I just felt like Ravens receivers were running wide open at times.
Because you're worried about Lamar. Because you are. You're worried about Lamar.
Yeah.
Then
okay. That's that
it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you're not really paying attention. You're really worried about Lamar. But this is a different beast. You know what I'm saying? And like Sean McVay is an awesome offensive coordinator, coach, offensive coordinator, whatever you want to call it. He's coaching his ass off with this squad right now. So it's going to be a tough game. But if I had to rank it like what it was last week, this game is far more winnable than last week's game. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens.
I expect the defense to play well.
I do. I expect them to play well.
You know, it's just the DBs that, again, if you're getting pressure, it should make your job much easier because we always worry about the middle of the field watching it.
That's still a problem. That was still a problem. That was
right,
a big problem.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking about. Yeah. I can't remember anybody. Well, outside Atlanta College, I can't remember.
The linebackers.
Because I'm not a fan of the team.
Yeah.
But – again, the defense has played well enough, even against Baltimore, to have you in the game competitive. It's just
bad plays.
Pretty good.
So yeah.
This week, you're right. This is now, I mentioned Myles Garrett. This is going to be the best defensive player that you're going to see.
It's going to be a man child.
Dwayne, and the coaching staff are going to have to work closely this week as to him being able to read the defense and go through his progressions. A lot of criticism about he's staring down receivers and that he only locks in on his first target. He doesn't know who his second and third options are. I don't know if that's true.
I'll tell the truth. I'll keep it a buck. The Browns game. The Browns game and before, definitely. The game against the Ravens was way better. But what I will say this, though, with this caveat, he's slow at it, though. Like, he's real slow at it. You know what I mean? He's still learning. You can tell. Like, he was going through his progressions. Then he tried to go back. He tried to drop off of it, but it was too late. By that time, it was too late. He would throw it to the running back. But the running back, by that time, a defender was already barreling it down when that running back was already open maybe 5 seconds ago. You know what I'm saying? So he's slow at it. That's the thing. He's slow at it. But again, it's something that he's trying to work on. You can see that he's working on it. He's trying to get better at looking at his outlets rather than just trying to make the big play. So I acknowledge progression. Like, he's trying. Like, I can see it. You know what I'm saying?
So does Aaron Donald against this offensive line scare you?
You're damn right. Inside, they rotate Aaron Donald. He's a monster. Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, those are, come on, man. You talk about Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett is a beast. I love Myles Garrett. You know what I'm saying? I think he's an animal. But Aaron Donald runs laps around Myles Garrett in terms of what the capability of Aaron Donald's greatness. We've seen Aaron Donald shut teams down by himself, like literally by himself. He's that good.
He reminds me of Reggie White slash.
Yes,
like the
I agree.
How strong he is.
I agree.
Ooh.
He's I agree.
So strong. I mean, he's huge. I mean, he can move O linemen out the
young
way one hand.
Young. What? we talk about wide receiver Mawson, folks. Bruh, he does that to football players. I mean, offensive linemen. He's a scary dude, man. And off the no joke stuff, man. That's all muscle, man. Like that's muscle. It's not even a fat boy. That's muscle, bro. That's muscle. That's not even a fat boy for real. It's crazy, man. All right, man. Jimmy Butler brought all the smoke Sunday. We'll talk about the NBA finals after the break. Listening to the Urban Sports saying for ages. You dig? Deuces. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, Will T is out. We're also part of Sports Journey, so make sure you check us out. Also, check us out at sportsjourney.com. All right, game 4 of the NBA Finals is tonight. The LA Lakers are up on the Miami Heat 2-1. In game 3, Jimmy Butler went for 40 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. Was that one of the all-time great performances in NBA Finals history, Ray?
That's a tough one.
I know, right?
That's a tough one. Many, many.
What about recent? Yes. Can we say recent?
Because so many people are reacting.
Yeah, I know.
What happens like now where he's playing against LeBron James. LeBron has had some excellent finals performances as a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. But, you know, of course, we grew up in the MJ era. We saw Magic when he was in his prime. And in comparison to LeBron, Magic, and Jordan, some of the finals performances, such as MJ versus Portland, when he just knocking down threes. I don't know if this performance in the bubble is up there for me.
There you go. I know you're going to say it, in the bubble. I like how you use that caveat.
I'm one of the asterisk guys, you know, who believes that this entire NBA playoffs is much different if we're not in this environment. However, we are here.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler's performance was excellent. I love the way he put the team on his back. Mm-hmm. The Lakers know who that man is, and he's not afraid of the Lakers. And with all the talk of it being a sweep, that's what motivated Jimmy Butler. And now the Lakers find themselves in a war. They still have the advantage, but Jimmy Butler played one hell of a game.
Yeah, he did, man. Jimmy, he balled out, man. Jimmy, you know, he will, like you said, he willed his team, and he wanted, you know, I use this term, and I always use it on social media, like, bro wanted all the smoke, you know what I mean? He wasn't scared of LeBron.
Right.
He took on the challenge, you know what I'm saying? LeBron, you know, he said in the presser that LeBron said, you know, I mean, y'all in trouble. He said it first. So Jimmy came back and said it at the end of the game, like, and he directed to LeBron, you in trouble. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of players, because of the image of LeBron James, like, they're scared to, like, kind of try to spark him, right? Because they feel like, all right, if I do this, if I say this, man, this dude may go ham on me, right? But Jimmy don't care. Like, Jimmy's about, hey, LeBron James, he ain't nobody different from me. Like, he on this court just like I'm on this court, and I'm gonna go at him. You know what I'm saying? And you see it though, right? You see it in other playoff series where some people look at the aura or the image of LeBron. I'm not gonna say Denver, because I felt like Denver was trying to go at him. Like, Jamal Murray was scared of LeBron. It was a different, you know, it was what it was. But Jimmy brings a different, he brings more intensity. It's just a fact. He brings more intensity. So he was ready for it. You know what I'm saying? And his teammates in that, especially that fourth quarter, you know what I mean? They started rocking with him. You know what I mean? My man Hero, who throughout that game was off, but in that fourth quarter, dude got buckets, and you saw that snarl, like, all right, yeah, you know, Jimmy gave him that confidence. So, because they didn't have that confidence at first, but Jimmy gave him that confidence, because you see your best player going at the so-called best in the game and the best player in his generation, supposedly. So, all props to Jimmy, because in street ball, we respect people like Jimmy Butler. We know, like, all right, this dude ain't scared of the so-called best player on the court. Like, he going to go at him, and he going to make that dude work.
With the return of Bam tonight,
yeah,
it gives. I want to say Miami an even better chance to even the series, because Anthony Davis not being the best player on the floor for LA really hurt. It really hurt.
Yeah, it did. He was.
I just feel as though he's been the best player.
Definitely.
Period.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler, LeBron included.
Oh man, he's been the best player by far.
In this series, by far. Right, and as long as he's balling, the Lakers are almost unbeatable in the bubble. But, of course, he was held to 15 points.
And yeah.
Bam coming back tonight.
I'm going to tell you why, though. I'm going to tell you why about that. No, I want to cut you off. Go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, no, definitely, man. I need you.
Okay.
You're the Washington football fan, and you're the Lakers fan.
No, but I'm going to tell you why. Like anything, like, once you get in foul trouble, it is what it is. Like, he couldn't get a rhythm. Like, he was in foul trouble off the bat in the first quarter, and you could tell that was getting to him. And I will say this about, like, the Bam situation. You know, Bam coming back, he's definitely important to the team. But something that Kelly Olynyk did that Bam doesn't allow, you know what I mean? He helped space out the court for Jimmy Butler. So, because Kelly's shooting threes, Bam isn't shooting threes. So that's going to change things in terms of how the Lakers play defense. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be clogged up. That middle's going to be clogged up a little bit more compared to where they had when they had Miles. You saw, like, Miles Leonard when he started off the game, he hit that three. I mean, even though he's only getting like 7 minutes, like, that's a good, you know, for the quarter, it spaces out the offense and can help Jimmy get in a role. Then when they make the substitution, they go with Kelly Olynyk. Now you get more spacing because Kelly Olynyk is pretty much outside shooting threes. And also, Kelly Olynyk has the ability to put the ball, you know, once they rush him for a three, he has the ability to put the ball on the floor and take it to the bucket, especially when when Keith Morris is on him. He was actually going to work on Keith Morris. So Kelly Olynyk has been a problem. I think the last couple games, he has like 18, 17 points. Like, Kelly Olynyk has been a problem for the Lakers. I'm just interested to see when Bam being back, how is his minutes going to be played? Like, if that changes it to a point where Olynyk is getting what he was getting normally in the postseason, then it's like, all right, you know, that may be better suited for the Lakers. But if Olynyk is getting more playing time, then I feel like, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. Because, you know, just like Dwight Howard not playing against Houston, that was like a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, in even look how Dwight played against Denver. It wasn't for Dwight, I think Denver beats the Lakers. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's certain matchups that just work a certain way, you know, for how your team operates. And I just feel like what they saw with Olynyk may have been ideal for what they want to do against the Lakers.
Role players, Danny Green and Casey.
Oh, man, he needs
1-for-7 from three. And Danny Green goes to these stretches where he...
Oh, man, he's trash. he trash, so, bro.
you do that to him a lot, but he actually stepped up
in
the Western Conference Finals and silenced all of the critics.
Wait, what? He trash, bro. Like, what? Oh, he trash. So,
He was much more efficient in the Western Conference Finals. In the comparison to the first round against Portland is where he struggled the most, and he struggled in the restart
mm-hmm.
Prior to the playoffs. But I just feel like he's been better. KCP has been balling too, so we can't be mad at him, even though he played a bad game. I just want to shed some light on the fact that Anthony Davis, while he didn't score much in the 33 minutes he was on the floor, your role guys didn't score much either. Dwight Howard, Danny Green, KCP, Rondo. That's four guys that are integral to winning and were instrumental in beating the Denver Nuggets, who were a tough team. And for them to, I want to say, let's see, combined, let's do the math real quick. Rondo had 4 points. KCP had five. That's nine. Danny Green had two, and Dwight Howard had four. That's 15 points from those guys. And that equals Anthony Davis's output, as you said, who was unable to establish a rhythm and being in foul trouble. You can't have that. If you have four guys combined for 15 points,
yeah, but
and the combined shooting percentage is horrible, then you're going to have trouble winning. Now, you had Marquise actually play pretty good.
Oh, man, he was off and on, man. He was airballing threes and everything. Yeah. He was off and on.
Of course, that's who he is. Yeah. You know, we learned that from his
D.C.
Basically, the role players did not step up, and you talked about Tyler Hero. He led the charge in terms of stepping up behind Jimmy Butler on Miami.
Yeah, so it's wild. All right, so you mentioned Dwight and my brother and I, we talk about this all the time. Like, so all right, so Dwight's numbers can be misleading in terms of not scoring. They don't give Dwight the ball. Like, they just don't give him the ball. That's one. They don't. It's like, it's amazing. Like, that Bama will show. Like,
he only had two shots.
Exactly,
he
Ray.
On the floor, though. Nobody,
and he don't get no minutes. And he wasn't getting any minutes. Look at his minutes. Like, I know you look at his minutes. Like, he was only got minutes in the first quarter.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
I'm gonna tell you what happened. He had minutes in the first quarter. And the third quarter, and that was it. And that's all he got. And that's, it wasn't like he got it spread out. That's all he got.
I'm letting Caruso off the hook. Caruso, in 26 minutes, was 1-for-4 and 1-for-3 from three-point land, only 8 points. So, again, even if you add Caruso, you add a fifth player to that equation, you're talking about 23 points from five guys, again, who you depend on to support your two stars.
Yeah.
It can't happen. So I expect the role players to step up and play better tonight. Although a confident Miami team is going to be a good matchup.
Yeah, I think so too. It'll be a good matchup. I just think, like you mentioned, they're going to have to, and you got me talking about the role players, and it's true. I think I totally agree with you, because especially because they play the zone, a lot of zone. The role players got to hit shots, man. Like, they just got to hit shots. They're open shots, man. They're set shots. Like, Danny Green in the finals was a knockdown. I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna fry Danny Green. I'm just gonna do this. This is what I'm just gonna do. I'm gonna fry Danny Green. Like, one, you're supposed to be on this team and play defense. You ain't even strapping. That's one. You ain't strapping. Secondly, like, you're there to knock down threes. You're a 3-and-D player. You're supposed to knock down threes. Open, and it's not even a hard three. It's not the threes that the San Antonio Spurs were like, just were kind of setting up for you. Like, you come off the curl and banging threes. They're not even asking for that. They're asking for like a set three, like an open in the corner. You're better shooting than PJ Tucker. Like, bro, you get knee shots from the corner, wide open, the so-called easiest three in the NBA, and you're struggling. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're struggling with the easiest three in the NBA, and you're supposed to be at a particular time. You are a knockdown shooter, and all they're asking for you is to shoot the set three. It's getting to a point, Ray, real talk, that when they run the zone. When Miami runs the zone, and when somebody is open, the most reliable open dude on a set three is LeBron James. And that can't happen. Like, that can't happen. Like, really? LeBron being your most reliable set three-point shooter? Really? No. Danny Green.
When they're struggling from the perimeter, boy, they are dreadful.
They're terrible. It's horrible. And it's because they're not running good offense. Because they're not even running good offense.
Prior to the playoffs. Woo. They cannot buy a basket from the perimeter. So
yeah,
that's what we saw in game three, and I hope it doesn't carry over into game four, because that happens sometimes where the Lakers seem to have like a lingering effect when it comes to their shooting. But going to the basket, LeBron, AD shoots a lot of perimeter shots, but he's been
old. Oh, man, but his mid range is his mid range ain't nice.
1-for-5 from 3. Looking at the numbers, he's 1-for-5 from 3. So definitely they're gonna have to improve from the perimeter this game, because Miami now is they got red in their eyes, man. They got blood. They see blood in the water, and they feel like they can seize this opportunity and get back in the series. I still don't like them to win the series.
Yeah,
I like that Chauncey's been saying it all along.
Yeah.
I believe the entire NBA community and fans of basketball do as well.
Of course, man. I had this series down in five, man. Lakers in five. I mean, I have respect for the grit of the Miami Heat. Just think the matchup didn't work out for him. That's all. I'm being real. I thought the matchup didn't work out for him, but the grit was there. That's why game five, because I respect what Spo's doing. You know what I'm saying? I do respect what Spo's doing. Let's go to the – what do you think is going to happen in game four before I go to the next segment?
You mentioned Bam and what he I guess, lacked in comparison to Olynyk from an offensive standpoint. But defensively,
yeah.
If he comes back and he's at least 80%, I don't think he's going to be 100%. I think that bodes well for Miami defensively.
I agree. And
you again force LA to make perimeter shots. Now, when we mention these guys, KCP, Danny Green, when they're on, they're hitting Kuzma, then that's no problem because they're getting the shots they want.
Yeah.
As you just mentioned, open shots. It's just a matter of them knocking them down. I see a lingering effect going into game four, and I believe it's going to be a close game. I do believe that Miami evens the series, but that's the last one they'll see. The Lakers sometimes are motivated when they're pushed.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Jimmy Butler yelling at LeBron and AD, you're in trouble going off the court, maybe enough to push the Lakers into finish mode. But we'll see. I'll take Miami tonight, although, of course, I wouldn't be shocked again. Lakers in five. That's what we both had it coming in.
Yeah.
I see Miami winning tonight. Motivated Bam coming back. Improved defensive effort and a motivated Jimmy Butler who, again, sees blood.
Yeah, I mean, I don't overreact after one game. Just like even when the Lakers won game one, I was like, let's see what happens in game two. That's the game I actually thought that Miami would get in game two. Even with like all the injuries, I just think the Lakers sometimes go through laxes. It's just the same way that you lose a game that you shouldn't overreact. I think the Lakers are in a situation where I think they should get game five. I think they'll play way better. I think because Anthony, you mentioned Anthony Davis, how he's been playing in the postseason. I know that the officials won't have him in foul trouble early again, so he'll have a rhythm, and I think you'll see the best player on the court get the minutes of the best player on the court. You know what I'm saying? So you'll see him on the court, and the issue is can Bam and company do enough to contain AD when he's on the court and when he's on the court throughout the game and not going through lapses when he's not on the court because of foul trouble. So can they really, you know, can they defend that? If they can defend that and rebound, because that's the thing, they're always going to have to rebound. If they can rebound and hold their own, then they'll be fine. And I think this game will be close. If they can't, they don't win the rebounding battle and, you know, AD is going for 30, they're not going to win the game because LeBron is still going to get, even LeBron not being like playoff or finals LeBron, whatever you want to call it, he's going to get you, he's going to fluke around and give you probably 20. You know, in 25. And then AD as dominant as he's been the last couple games, probably not the last couple of games, game one and game two, you know, that should be enough for them to beat Miami. But if AD is off, yeah, I'm with you. That's going to be a problem for the Los Angeles Lakers. But I predict in five, I'm going to stick to my guns. All right. You got Doc Rivers. You know, he left. We talked about him leaving the Clippers last week. Now Doc is signed a deal to be the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. Your thoughts on the move before we go to break?
Clearly has talent.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the issue. It's going to be interesting to see what the front office does because when you surrounded Simmons and B with shooters such as J.J. Redick and, gosh, I'm having a hard time with names. Oh, Bellinelli.
And Robert Richardson.
That could shoot from the perimeter.
Yeah, Josh Richardson.
Philly was dangerous, bro. And when Jimmy Butler was on the squad,
mm-hmm.
that Kawhi shot, of course, eliminated them. But they were so close. So this team isn't far away. It's just a matter of the supporting cast, and that's up to the front office. That's up to Elton Brand, the general manager, and bringing in the right guys to surround Joel and Ben with talent. And then Ben and Joel have to stay healthy. I would like to see Joel Embiid in better shape.
Yeah,
but you know you can't control injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Tough.
Yeah, to your point, I think it's a good fit for Doc. I mean, I think it's a talented team. My thing I want to see what Doc does is to make sure, man, and B, man, stay in that block, bruh, and do block work. Stop trying to shoot threes and crossing folks over. I mean, if he's consistently trying to be dominant in the paint, I mean, I think Doc can do wonders with Embiid and Ben Simmons. I think he can get them to where they need to get to. You know what I'm saying? So, and he's got a familiar face in Tobias Harris. You know, he coached them in the Clippers with the Clippers, so he knows what Tobias is all about. And I think Tobias had a comfortability with Doc Rivers in LA. So I think it can work. It can definitely work in Philadelphia. So I think it's a guy that a team that, you know, Doc wants to have success and get to the finals. It's an opportunity, but it's going to be tough. We all know it's going to be tough next year with Kyrie and KD, you know, coming into back in the East. It's going to be tough, man.
By the way, shout out to the Seattle Storm. I thought the Aces would get tonight. Good gracious.
Oh, they won? They won it all?
They're up 30 with like 40.
Oh, that's it.
That's a wrap.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we're going to have a special guest after the break. He's actually up and coming. He's going to UVA. We'll talk to our special guest after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for IGES. You dig? Deuces. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy. Will T is out. All right, man. This is a cool day, man. We get to uplift the area. We're going to show some DMV love. You know how we do it. All right, right now we have Quince Orchard High School cornerback Will Simpkins III. What's going on, Will?
What's going on?
How you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, Ray. How about you, sir?
We're doing good, man. Doing good. You know what? It's cool, man. I'm glad to have you on. You know, I hoop with your father up in Walter Reed. I told him I used to give him the business. Did major work. You know what I'm saying? J work. Our team won the championship too. You know what I'm saying? So big ups to your pops, man. Your pops is real cool peeps. All jokes aside, your pops is real cool peeps, man.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, man, definitely. All right, man. I want to talk about, you know, you committed to the University of Virginia. What made you pick VA? I mean, you had a bunch of schools, I mean, interested in you.
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I chose UVA is because I'm ready to take on that big role that they need me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the time I come into UVA, the upper classmen are going to be gone. So it's going to be a lot of lower classmen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for like what I'm doing right now, working out with my coach, my trainer, Carmichael, Rock Carmichael, used to play for Philadelphia
Eagles. I'm with you, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, he used to play for them, but then he's getting me ready for, like, not just the college level, but, like, also the NFL level. Because
awesome, man.
Like, what I'm doing now, I'm trying to get an upper hand on everybody that's, like, around my age so I can be better prepared to be on that next level.
Got you. How is COVID messing up? Is COVID messing up your training? You know, with, you know, obviously, you know, it's harder to get out there and do what you want to do. But is it affecting you, or are you still grinding?
Can you say that one more time?
I'm sorry. Is COVID, like with the, you know, quarantine and stuff, is that messing up your training, or are you still grinding? Like, you still find it easy to train?
Oh yeah, I'm still finding ways to train. Always a way to train.
Got you.
Like the more you want it, the more you're gonna find the train.
Mm-hmm. All right, so
bro, like,
go right. Go.
I want to know, like, did Clemson factor into your decision making? Like, do you want that challenge? You want to be on that stage in terms of where you pick to go to school
against Clemson?
Yeah, because you know that's gonna be the biggest game.
It is gonna be the biggest game. You just watched the game not too long ago, right? Like last week.
Yeah,
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good game right there. Mm-hmm. See. See, when my class go up there, we're going to be more prepared. But we're going to be young, but we're going to be ready for sure. I already feel how we got that little clip we got going. We're going to be ready for Clemson.
I love it, man. I love this kid's swag, man. Like, I love it, bro.
You know, UVA. UVA is going to be Clemson when you arrive with Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Like, all right, UVA.
So, that's what I'm talking about, man. You know what I'm saying? I love it, man. You know what I'm saying? I love this, man. You know I love people who want all the smoke, man. Call out UVA, bro. You know what I'm saying? Right. Putting that work. I mean, I'm call out Clemson because, yeah, put all that work. Put that work in. So, like Ray said, you don't get the opportunity. You're going to Clemson. Do you expect that, like, you're going to play, you want to play the Clemsons of the world, the Florida States? Even, you know, you get to play. If you're in Maryland, you can play Maryland. You know, got bragging rights. You want to play Maryland, beatable Maryland. but at the same time, like, do you, when you get to UVA, you look at your, you look at yourself, you know what? Day one, I'm a starter day one.
Do I look at myself?
No, like you're going to, like, that's what you expect. When you go into UVA, you expect to be a starter day one.
So I don't expect to be a starter, but I'm expecting myself to work for that starter position, though.
Got it. Okay. Okay. That's what I want to hear. I like it, man. Putting the work. Putting the work.
So do you look up to anybody in particular, like Trevon Diggs is somebody who stands out to me, you know, with the Cowboys now, just changing positions and balling at Bama? Or is there anybody else that inspires you to go out there and play your game each week?
Well, my trainer, he pushes me harder than anybody out there. So, like, he's one person that I look up to. But I used to look up to LaDainian Thomas when he was in the league.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
But yeah. One of the best. Yes, for sure. LT.
But you look like you could play linebacker too. Have you ever thought about that, or you like the DB because you like coming up laying a hit, you know, from DB?
I used to play strong safety.
I can see, bro. Yeah, I was gonna ask you,
like, as an overhang or a linebacker.
I can see it.
Yeah, I love to come down. I'm coming down the hit. I don't care who it is. I'm getting in their face.
Yeah, man. You from the clips, man. You real physical. I did want to ask you that too because you a big boy, man. You 6'2", like, you know, that's a big corner. You know what I'm saying?
6'3".
You're 6'3"? Right? Oh, my bad. Hey, my bad. I'm like, okay, I do the same thing on my license. I say I'm like 6'3", 6'2". Somebody told me I'm 6'1". I was like, you lying to me, bro. All right, but do you think that, is that a position, too, that you would play in college, though? If they said, hey, we want you to play safety, would you think about doing that?
I think about doing it, but I came for corner, so anything to help my team to win against Clemson. So, yeah, I'm taking that.
I love it, man.
It's all about Clemson. That's what I'm talking about. So you mentioned LT, which shows just how you watch football. You've been watching it for years. But I mean, remember the Legion of Boom and their peak, at their peak, 6'2", 6'1", 6'2". That was the average corner size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you feel confident that you can definitely make the league? I know you wanna get to school first. We're gonna beat Clemson first. We gotta take the steps to get to the league. But still, can you see yourself, you know, fitting right in at your size as a corner in the NFL?
Well, yeah, for sure. Especially get some big wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to need a corner my size. Who's going to be able to move like a regular size corner? I'm moving.
So do you look at yourself as a press corner? Are you like a press corner?
Oh, yeah, I'm a press corner. Okay. Anybody, don't matter who it is.
Okay. So I do want to ask, like, when did you know, you know what, I rock at football, this is the sport I'm going to play? Like, when did you know this?
Probably, like, I'm going to say, like, 7 years old, because I started playing football at the age of 5.
All right. Shoot. So have you ever played your pops in basketball? Did you play your pops in basketball? So did you beat him?
I totally did.
All right, who wins, man? I need to know this. I need.
Back then, he used to beat me all the time because I was young, but when I'm older, he just ducking. He don't want to play me.
Oh,
no.
Will, you scared? Big Will, you scared?
No more.
Oh, Big Will don't want to smoke? Are you serious?
Oh, no, that ain't. No, I'm Big Will now. I'm
Oh, snap. Oh, man. But so I'm gonna get to high school. How has, like, Quince Orchard prepare you for your next journey?
Ooh, they helped me out a lot, honestly. They helped me, like, become a better person, like, more mature, like, QO, like, moving to that area taught me a lot, and which helped me where I'm at now. They helped me a lot. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't coming to QO. Better me as a man.
Awesome, man. Well, man. Well, Ray, go ahead, Ray.
I think it's so dope when you can make it, you know, to D1 from this area of football because, in my opinion, like, this is a basketball area. You travel to Pennsylvania, of course, Florida, Texas. I mean, football is everything. And here, I don't know if it's the same atmosphere, but you're talking about your experience at Queens Ultra. Like, what was it like, you know, are the students hyped before the game? You know, did you get a lot of attention, or you feel as though it could be better?
I mean, it could be better, but, like, at the games, everybody be there, unless they know it's going to be a blowout. But them games do be jumping. Them games do be lit. Everybody be out there supporting.
I love
That's what I like about the Kiwa area.
All right, I love it. Hey, when COVID's all open, when COVID is like done and everything's opened up, man, tell your father to bring you the Walter Reed to hoop with us, man. I ain't never see you hoop with us, bro. You know what I'm saying?
All right, man, I come up there.
Yeah, tell him to hoop.
Like a baller.
Yeah, tell him this, bro. Tell him this. I think he be trying to hold. Like, I think he trying to be the best Simpkins in the game, so he don't want to show you out. You better tell him not to do that.
For real.
You know, tell him not to do that. Like, stop trying to be selfish. You know what I'm saying?
For real. Yeah.
Hey, homie, man, thanks for being on. We appreciate you, man. You got any social media you want to plug? Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to add before we let you go?
On social media?
Yeah, do you want to give y'all your social so the people who listening want to follow you, or you just want to, like, you know, anything you want to add at the end of the show, say, hey, man, thank you, or whatever you want to say. It's up to you, bro.
Yeah, I want to say thank you to everybody who listening, like, mm-hmm. everybody who helped me get to where I am now. But if you want to follow me on Instagram, at Girl That's Will, Girl, mm-hmm. GATTS, Will.
There you go, man. See, the young boys, man, they all like the
YouTube,
IG.
Man. Well, I got YouTube, too.
Look,
I
go ahead and plug that, too, bro.
Put it out there.
Put it out there.
Real_Squilly.
There you go.
Okay, Real Squilly, SQWLY.
All right, that's what I want. There you go. You got from, hey, one thing, bro. You plan, hey, you got to promote yourself. All right, they ain't going to do it. You promote yourself. And everything.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
I like to stay low key though, man.
Hey, man. Hey.
I want to show people what I can do.
Hey, you gonna show, but you promote at the same time.
Yeah, you right.
All right, my man. Hey, appreciate you, homie.
Thank you.
All right, man.
All right.
Oh man, that was a cool kid, man. Again, man. UVA, watch out. UVA, he coming. He trying to take a spot, man. William Simpkins, bro.
Going to the ACC and playing against Clemson is definitely a good tool, a good recruiting tool. And you could tell he said, we're going to be Clemson. He's focused on
yeah.
Clemson. See, Maryland's in the Big Ten, so
that'll oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
But
they do play, though. They play
against Clemson. Clemson is the standard in terms of East Coast.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Alabama, I don't want to say the South. I'm going to say East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Because Alabama, obviously, is what you think of when you think of the prototypical winning college program.
Yeah.
But Clemson's right there. And Clemson's in the ACC, and it's going to be dope to see him go against Clemson. Clemson's got DJ at quarterback. Well, DJ will be the quarterback.
Because mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence, this is probably it for him.
Yeah.
DJ, I don't know if you watched QB1. I wanted to ask him that. DJ wasn't featured on QB1. I can't say his last. I can't pronounce it. I'll try later. Sorry. But he wasn't featured, but the guy in front of him, Rial Mitchell, was featured on the show QB1 on Netflix. But DJ's a ball at quarterback, so it'll be nice to see Will go up against him being a defensive back and how that matches up in the future. It's going to be dope.
I forgot that Maryland wasn't in the ACC. I keep forgetting that they're in the Big Ten. Like, they're a waste of a Big Ten spot. Don't VA and Maryland play almost every year? They don't? Anymore?
You are a liar.
I'm asking you. I'm not sure I'm right. I'm asking the question.
Nigga,
you are a liar. I didn't even say it wasn't a statement, bro.
No, I knew you asked me a question, but I just don't. Well, I meant to say, don't make me a liar. I don't think they play every year. They still match up, but they
don't play every year. Like, it's not that type of thing.
Yeah,
it's not that type of thing. But yeah, man, I mean, yeah, he want the smoke, man. I like that. I like when people have like that type of team in mind, right? Like, you have like the kings of the conference, or like the team at the top, and you have in mind, like, you know what? You know, when I get in there, I want that pomp of competition, because he wants competition. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I always say this: iron sharpens iron. You know what I'm saying? So. He know, like, all right, I'm gonna go. I want to play against Clemson. I ain't scared of that. You know what I'm saying? I want that work. So, man, it was
save
good.
Save that clip, because when UVA upsets Clemson in the future, we're gonna play that clip.
Oh yeah. Oh, bet that. Yeah, it's gonna be set. Yeah. It's bet, man. All right, we'll make our Week 5 NFL picks after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for Ages. You dig? Deuces.
Yeah, I done did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Fuck the system, I'm that bend the law, cut the rules. I'm about to risk it all, I ain't got too much to lose. Y'all been eating long enough, it's my turn to cut the food. Pass the plate, win my drink, this my day. Lucky you, fuck you too. Woo! Y'all gotta move, y'all gotta move.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy. Will T is out now, part of sportsjourney.com. So make sure you check us out for all your DMV sports news. Check out sportsjourney.com. Make sure you check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a weekly battle of NFL pick'em games with them, including survivor picks. Here are our records in the Football Garbage Time Urban Sports Scene Pick'em Challenge. Through the first 4 weeks, Will T is 41-21. I am 39-23, and Ray is 36-26. Here are our standings. Will T is in third place. And I'm in seventh place, and Ray is in eighth place. Hakun Wong from the Football Garbage Time crew is in first place. And again, you can also check out our standings and picks at www.footballgarbagetime.com. All right, Ray, you ready for the picks?
Absolutely.
All right, my man. All right, Buccaneers, Bears.
Tampa.
Give me the – I think I have the Bears. I'm trying to make sure. But give me the Bears. Panthers versus the Falcons.
Panthers.
You have the Panthers?
Justin Fields is coming. the Atlanta lost DeMonte Casey to a torn Achilles.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Already down almost all of our good attack. McKinley, he might come back this week.
Mm-hmm.
Keanu Neal is out. Ricardo Allen is out. Atlanta's done. I don't see Quinn surviving past week 8, I think, or past the bye week, whenever that is. Mm. Sorry.
All right, give me. I have the Falcons myself. Bills versus the Titans. I'm sorry, Bills versus the Titans. You got the Bills. Give me the Titans. Raiders versus the Chiefs.
KC all day.
Yeah, KC. Arizona versus the Jets.
I'll take the Cardinals.
Yeah, I got the Cardinals as well. Eagles versus the Steelers.
Give me Philly, you know, sir.
Okay, give me the Steelers. Rams versus the Washington football team.
Sorry, taking the Rams.
Okay, I'm taking the Washington football team. Bengals versus the Ravens.
I have the Ravens.
Yeah, give me the Ravens. Jaguars versus the Texans.
Give me the Texans to get their first win.
Give me the Texans, too. Dolphins versus the Niners.
I got the Niners.
Got the Niners as well. Colts versus the Browns.
Good luck to them. Good luck to them.
Oh, Tua starting?
No, but he's gonna get some playing time.
Oh, good.
You know, his magic don't last for so long.
Yeah, no, they don't. I'm been waiting on Tua to start, man. That's my guy. Browns versus the Browns versus the Colts.
I got the Colts.
I got the Colts too. Giants versus the Cowboys.
Cowboys, come on.
Oh, Cowboys. Yeah, I got the Cowboys now.
Yeah, you gotta win this one.
Yeah, I got the Cowboys. That's the Giants. No, not at all. Patriots versus the Broncos.
I'll take the Pats.
Yeah, I got the Pats too. Vikings versus the Seahawks.
I got the Seahawks.
I got the Seahawks too. Chargers versus the Saints.
I got the Saints.
I have the Saints as well. And let me provide my survivor pick. Even though I don't even know. Here you go. My survivor pick.
It,
yeah, I'm still in it.
Cowboys got me eliminated week one. But this year I'm near the bottom, but I'm so like happy with the picks that I made and the upsets that I picked. Mm-hmm. I picked so many.
This year? Yeah.
Like, for example, Houston over Pittsburgh. They've been so close, the games have been, so I'm not mad at all.
All the games have been close.
I'm not far behind you guys.
No.
I made up some ground this week, so.
You're not far behind at all. Yeah, I'm picking my survivor pick this week is the Ravens versus the Bengals. You know, Ravens, that's going to be easy. That's an easy survivor pick. So I'll pick that one. I picked the tough one 2 weeks ago. I got lucky, though. The Vikings versus the Titans. That was the lucky one. Because the Vikings, I was like, all right, I'm already out. Then the Titans came back. So, yeah, that's my pick. All right, so make sure. So I think we're done with the picks. We're done with everything now. So it's time to close the show out. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And check out the new home of the Urban Sports Scene, Sports Journey, at sportsjourney.com. Hey, thank you all for listening. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie. Swag.